And welcome to another edition of the Romance Program. I'm volunteer Jeannie Yost for Sun Sounds. I have one story coming up this hour. It's from True Love magazine called The Devil Made Me Do It. Here's the story. I was tossing the last load of laundry in the dryer when I heard the sound. At first, I thought it was a couple of cats fighting next door. Pressing my ear against the open window, I heard the cry again. If I hadn't known better, I'd have thought it was the cry of a baby coming from the house next door. Still shaking my head, I knew that wasn't possible. Though my neighbor Lilith wasn't the friendliest of people, I did know that only she and her daughter, Mary Frances, lived there. There weren't any babies in that house. Just a bitter divorcee who hated the world and her poor daughter. I turned on the dryer timer and went into the kitchen. Popping a sticky bun in my mouth, I wondered what I'd heard. Chewing slowly, I blamed it on the wind. Or maybe those darn cats. Seemed like everyone was dumping a stray cat out where we lived, but it sure had sounded like a baby. Lilith King had been our neighbor for years. I'd watched her daughter, Mary Frances, grow into a young woman just like my daughter, Sydney. The two girls weren't close friends, but Sydney always made sure she kept in contact with Mary Frances. "She's like a little lost puppy," Sydney used to say. As for Lilith, well, it's let's just say she was something else. Several years ago, the hardworking Mr. King had stepped out for paper and never come home. No one knew for sure why, but it looked as if he'd had enough of Lilith's relentless nagging. No matter, Lilith kept her day job at the department store and spent her evenings in the church. After Mr. King's disappearance, Lilith got really religious and took all of her anger out on Mary Frances. Poor Mary Frances has to wear those same old clothes all the time, Sydney commented to me one day. Did you know that she spends most of her time alone in the house? Lilith is always alone. I'd heard rumors, but I didn't put much faith in them. I don't know much about the family, I told my daughter, but why don't you clean out your closet and take some clothes over to Mary Frances? I'm sure she'll appreciate them. Sydney's pale brows had knitted together. I tried, Mom, but Lilith made her return them to me. Well, at least she has you as a friend, I said, feeling bad about Mary Frances's circumstances, but knowing there was really little I could do to help her. Yeah, at least she's got me and Wyeth Oakes. He's a guy at school who likes her. Mary Frances with a boy? I hadn't thought it was possible, knowing the way Lilith was. You mean Mary Frances has a boyfriend? I asked my daughter. Sydney nodded. Yeah, he's good with computers like she is. They spend lots of time together from what I can tell. I thought back to my own teen years. I'd married Sydney's father right out of high school, and when he died in a car crash 3 days before Sydney was born, I'd lost not only the man I loved, but my very best friend. Well, I do hope that Mary Frances finds some happiness, I said. It's got to be tough living with a mother like Lilith. Sydney hugged me. Mom, you're great. I just wish Mary Frances's mom was like you. I feel sorry for her. I held my daughter close, inhaling her sweet perfume and thanking my lucky stars that she was mine. Guilt crept up on me about Mary Frances, but I knew I couldn't do a thing for her. No matter how sorry I felt for her, I didn't dare butt in. Lilith's wrath wasn't a nice thing to see, let alone experience. A couple of weeks before I'd seen Mary Frances coming home from school, poor Mary Frances was the type of girl who looked at a candy bar and got fat. Her belly stuck out and she had to be carrying an extra 50 pounds on her petite frame. "Hi, Mrs. Kincaid," she'd called to me that afternoon when I was out on my front porch, pulling down on the front of her baggy sweater. "Nice day." I'd nodded. "Hello, Mary Frances. I haven't seen you in a while. You look great. How's your mother?" Mary Frances had looked down at the ground at that question. She's okay, I guess. She likes her church group. She's real busy. I hadn't wanted to be nosy, but I just couldn't help myself. I'd been concerned about poor Mary Frances and her downcast demeanor. "Honey, you aren't in the house alone at night, are you?" I'd asked her. She'd looked up and brightened somewhat at the obvious concern in my voice. "Why?" "Well, I know your mom is at church a lot, and I was just curious, that's all." "I stay home and read late." Mary Frances had been staring at me, her eyes wide, when suddenly she'd grabbed the fence, gasping out loud. "Mary Frances, are you all right?" I'd cried, watching her as she held the fence. All the color had drained from her face, and I thought she might faint. "Honey, what's wrong?" "Mary Frances, are you all right?" Mary Frances had taken a deep breath, straightened herself, then gave me a weak smile. It's nothing. I think I've got the flu. I've got to go, Mrs. Kincaid." Beads of sweat had dripped down her brow as she'd stepped away. I'd said goodbye, though I doubted that she'd even heard me. Reluctantly, I'd gone back into the house. It was obvious that Mary Frances was sick, but I knew I shouldn't interfere. After all, she was Lilith's daughter, and I knew how I'd feel if someone started telling me how to take care of my daughter. But still, I couldn't help worrying about Mary Frances. After that incident, though, I'd pretty much forgotten it. As it was, there was too many other things to worry about, like getting the bills paid and seeing that Sydney had new shoes. Occasionally, I'd see Lilith leaving the house, and I'd wave. She was never friendly, so I never got a wave in return. But like I'd done for so many years, I simply accepted it as her way. Then, the following morning, after I'd heard the crying, I asked Sydney how Mary Frances was doing. My daughter, the goodwill ambassador of high school, flashed me a disgusted look. "She's been sick. She missed the last 3 days of school. Actually, she only came back today. She needs to see a doctor if you ask me, but she won't." Sydney brushed back a handful of her long red hair. "She borrowed some pads from me the other day," she told me. "She said her period was really heavy. That's why I really think she needs to see someone." I remembered then how Mary Frances had acted when I'd seen her out in front of our house. Maybe she'd just had a bad case of the flu. Sydney shook her head. "No, there's definitely something wrong. I talked to Wyeth to see if he'd take her to the free clinic, but he told me that Mary Frances won't go. As a matter of fact, he told me that she's been avoiding him for the last 3 months." I knew about teenage romances, happy one day, broken up the next. The way I looked at it, it was all a part of growing up. But still, I asked, "And how does Wyeth feel about that?" Sydney shook her head. "He's real unhappy about it. He loves Mary Frances, but it's like she's avoiding him because she's afraid of him." "He hasn't abused her in any way, has he? Oh, no, nothing like that. I really don't know what the problem is. It's too bad, though. They are perfect for each other. I sighed. My thoughts went to Lilith. It was a good thing she hadn't known about Mary Frances's relationship. Lilith wasn't the kind of kind to understand about romance or love. Do you think I should go next door and talk to Mary Frances? I volunteered. Sidney shrugged. Well, do what you want, but I don't think it's going to help. You know how her mother is. And I did. But I also decided that I'd check in with Lilith the first chance I got. The next morning, I heard the crying again. That time it was louder. I'd seen Lilith leave for work, so I knew that Mary Frances could be the only cause for the noise. Thoughts of her lying sick in bed, crying out for help, raced through my mind. I went out onto our front porch and looked up at our next-door neighbor's attic, where the sound seemed to be coming from. The dusty window was covered with a tattered curtain. Listening close, it was several minutes before the cries started again. I strained to hear them. At first, they were soft, and they got louder. One minute, it sounded like a baby, the next, like cats in heat. What was it? Was it Mary Frances or my imagination? Then suddenly, just as quick as they'd started, the cries stopped. I listened more closely, but nothing sounded from the attic. Lilith was working and Mary Frances was probably at school, so I finally decided that the noise had to be that of stray cats in heat. I just couldn't explain it any other way. Was Mary Frances in school today? I asked Sidney that afternoon when she got home. My daughter dumped her book bag on the kitchen table and reached for an apple. Taking a big bite, she nodded. Yeah, she was there till around 11. Then she went home sick. Why? Did you see her? No, I was just wondering. And still something nagged at my mind. The crying. When had I first heard it? It seemed like it had been around 10:30 or 11. Is Mary Frances doing any better? She looks a little better, but she just isn't interested in school like she used to be. It's like she's got a lot on her mind or something. And who wouldn't, I thought. The way I looked at it, Mary Frances lived in an intolerable situation, taking all the abuse her mother handed out. Everyone reached their limit at some time or another, didn't they? Well, maybe I'll talk to Lilith. I've got something I want to check on anyway, I said. Don't embarrass Mary Frances, Mom, Sidney protested. She really tries to get along with her mother, and it might cause some trouble. I patted her arm reassuringly. I'll handle it in the right way, sweetheart. Don't worry. Sidney rolled her eyes. Just don't make it any harder on Mary Frances than it already is, Mom. I grinned. I'll behave myself, I promised. I peeked out through the living room curtains and saw that Lilith's battered car was parked outside. I'd been waiting for her to get home. Not only was I concerned about the strange sounds coming from her house, but I was also quite worried about Mary Frances. So slipping on my sweater, I went next door and knocked on the front door. After several knocks, the door flung open and a sour-faced, silver-haired woman glared out at me. Yes, she demanded imperiously. Hello, Lilith. Is it okay if we talk for a minute? Lilith's fuzzy upper lip quivered as she narrowed her eyes at me. Listen, Judy, I'm pretty busy. She glanced quickly at her watch. I've got to be at church in half an hour. I hadn't expected her to be so hostile. Still, it was typical Lilith. So I stood my ground. Well, actually, there are only two questions that I want to ask you. Lilith snorted, so make them quick. I squared my shoulders. Well, you see, Lilith, I've been hearing cries
coming from your attic in the mornings. I was thinking there might be some stray cats up there fighting. Lilith's eyes widened as she stared at me in incredulity. What on earth are you talking about? There aren't any cats up there. I don't even go up there. It's just a storage area. She pulled her thin lips into a tight smirk. Well, so much for the first question. So how's Mary Frances? I haven't seen her lately. Lilith groaned and rolled her eyes. Judy, Mary Frances is fine. She's busy doing her homework in her room right now, though. So if you don't mind, I've got to go. Okay, but well, are you sure she's okay? I implored. Lilith leaned close, the smell of some medicinal balm clinging to her like an antiseptic cloud. Judy, she said, I'll have you know that Mary Frances is watched over carefully by God. She's perfectly fine, and you don't need to worry. Her flashing eyes locked with mine, then daring me to ask one more question. Nice talking to you, Judy. The door slammed shut in my face. I just stood there for the longest moment like an idiot. Obviously, my visit hadn't gone as planned. Lilith was upset with me, and I still didn't know any more than when I'd first come to her door. I walked slowly back home, glancing up at Lilith's house. I saw a light on in Mary Frances's bedroom. Pausing, I listened. No noise, no crying, no loud music, nothing. Sighing, I went inside the house. Some things are best left alone, I told myself. Maybe this was one of those things. Lilith pulled out of her driveway the following morning, not bothering to even glance my way. I was out front watering the roses, and I waved. Turning up her nose, Lilith drove off. Our neighborly relations were going to be poor from now on, I realized with a sigh. I rolled up the house and moved along the fence, or the hose, that is, and moved along the fence. I couldn't help but look up at the attic next door. No sounds. Maybe the cats had moved on. Taking a deep breath, I realized I was making something out of nothing. My imagination was running wild. It was time to settle down and get on with my life. Strange noises happened all the time. Leave it to me to overreact. Shuffling to the door, I opened it slowly, but as I stepped inside, I heard the cries again. Turning, I glanced up at Lilith's attic window. The sounds were coming from there. I went into the kitchen, my ears tuned in. The cries started shortly after 9 and kept on until around 10. Then they stopped. Something was going on. I knew it. Standing by and ignoring the sounds was too much for me, but I knew that Lilith would never cooperate with me, not after the miserable exchange we'd had. So I'd have to check into it myself, because I couldn't bear to hear those painful, pitiful cries and not know what was causing them. Not any longer. Still, how would I find out? What's on your mind? Sydney asked me the following morning at breakfast. You look funny. Thanks, I replied. Actually, I've got something to do. I'm just making plans. Sounds weird to me, she remarked, sipping her cocoa. What's up?
Oh, I'm just trying to check something out. Nothing much. I wanted to tell her, but I didn't dare. What I planned on doing was better off in my daughter. Was better off that my daughter didn't know about it. Sydney got up from the table then, grabbed her bag, pecked me on the cheek, and headed for the door. See ya, she said. Wait, I cried before she got out the door. Honey, was Mary Frances in school yesterday? Sydney thought for a second. I think she was there until around 10, then she went home. The cries had stopped around then. Around 11. Were they tied in somehow with Mary Frances?
Or was it mere coincidence that the sounds had ceased when she got home? Darn these questions. I didn't have answers and I wanted them desperately, so I decided that there was only one thing for me to do. I had to check out that attic. But how? Well, I wasn't sure, but I was definitely going to give it a try. 10 minutes later, I watched Mary Frances walk down the road with Sydney as they headed off to school. Lilith had left for work an hour ago, so that meant that the house next door was empty. So now what? Oh, I'd watched enough TV to know that people broke into houses by jimmying the lock. But in real life, I thought for a few minutes. Our two houses were identical. Our floor plans were the same, which meant that Lilith's basement window might be temperamental, like mine was. After all, the same builder had built both houses. Perhaps they had the same flaws. Glancing at my watch, I hurried out the back door. I knew that Lilith never locked the gate to her property, so I opened it, checked to see if anyone was watching me, then raced through. About 50 steps later, I knelt down at her rear basement window. I gave it a slight nudge, and it didn't budge. Chewing my thumbnail, I wondered if I dared break the glass. No, it was too risky. As it was, what I was doing was already against the law. Just when I'd about given up hope, I saw it. At the base of the house, a nasty screwdriver stuck out of the ground. Just what I needed. Yanking it out of the soil, I went to work on the window. 10 minutes later, my face drenched in sweat, the window finally came loose with a loud groan. I'd found my entrance. A quick glance told me that no one was around. So far, I'd made it this far, and when I slipped my feet through the window, I heard the first cry of the morning, which meant that whatever it was, I'd catch it in the act. Wriggling through the narrow opening, I dropped to my feet inside the damp dark of Lilith's cellar. The smell of mildew reeked throughout the gloomy space. An old washer and dryer stood near the stairs. A bare bulb hung down from a wire above. Creeping toward the stairs, I thought back the sudden fear washing through me. What I was doing was criminal enough, but the house itself was especially creepy. Was my curiosity really worth all of this? Then I heard it, another cry. I took the stairs two at a time at the sound. I knew that the door in front of me would open into the kitchen. From there, it would be nothing getting up to the attic. But the hair on the back of my neck bristled. My imagination was running wild. I felt eyes on me, burning into my back, but turning back quickly, I saw only a bleak, musty cellar below. The kitchen door creaked as I opened it. The kitchen was as spooky as the cellar. Piles of dishes stood on the counters. It looked like Lilith wasn't much of a housekeeper. Several bags of garbage stood near the back door. I tried to remember how the house had looked before Lilith's husband had decided to disappear. It had seemed to me that it had always been this dismal, uninviting place. Slowly, I made my way through the kitchen and into the dining room. A quick left, and I was at the front of the stairs going up the second floor. I tiptoed up the worn carpet, holding my breath, wincing when a stair creaked beneath me. Finally, I let my breath out slowly when I reached the top of the stairs. From where I stood, the cries were louder, not so much like a cat's, after all, more like a baby's cry. Not likely, I thought. No babies in this charming family. I went to the middle of the hallway and pulled on the rope hanging from the ceiling. The attic ladder dropped down, whining as it extended its iron legs to the floor. The steps were shiny, which surprised me. The whole house looked neglected, and yet this attic ladder looked well used. A ladder to a storage space, no less, and yet it was obviously well traveled. With trembling hands, I grasped the railings and went up the steps. The ladder wobbled with each movement, and I thought for sure that the old contraption would fall right out from underneath me. Thankfully, it didn't. I peeked my head up into the attic, then crawled inside. The ceiling was angled up underneath the eaves. There wasn't much room to move around. The cries had stopped, though, and I listened carefully. Then, from someone near the back of the attic, I heard the sound of breathing, soft, labored breathing. The first thing that came to my mind was rats. Maybe the whole place was crawling with them. But no, that was ridiculous. That was louder breathing than any rodent could make, no matter how big. I took a step forward just as a wail filled the air. I cried out, my heart beating so fast that I thought I'd pass out right then and there. Then there was another cry. Those cries, the ones that had captured my curiosity, were right within reach, and yet I was terrified of moving. But now was no time to turn chicken. Filling my lungs with stale air, I walked bravely toward the sound. Dust flew into the air, making the room look like it was shrouded in clouds. One step, two. By the time I'd moved 10 feet, the cry had sounded again. Peering through the dim light, I saw a drawer in the corner. It was lined with a blanket. Kittens, I thought. Mary Frances must have had kittens from her mother. I pulled back the blanket, then gasped and fell backward on my bottom, sending up another choking cloud of dust. The sparkling eyes of kittens didn't look up at me as I'd expected. In their place were big brown eyes pleading with me. No cat or kitten here, just a tiny baby. What to do? The baby whimpered, and I quickly reached down and cradled it in my arms. There were no bottles around, not even so much as a clean diaper. The child was whom I'd heard crying all those hours. But whose child? Lilith was well past her childbearing years, so it had to be Mary Frances's baby. But that was crazy. From what I knew from Sydney, Mary Frances wasn't sexually active by any means, and I couldn't believe that she could have possibly hidden the fact that she'd carried and born a child without someone noticing. Then suddenly, I thought of Lilith's sour-faced looks. She'd have no compassion for a pregnant, unwed teenage daughter. Poor Mary Frances, she had given birth. I had little time to ponder. A shadow came up behind me just then and laid its hand on my shoulder. I screamed, turning quickly, glancing up at the person who stood behind me. "Mary Frances?" I cried. "Honey, you scared the tar out of me." Mary Frances's eyes brimmed with tears. "Oh, no, please, please don't tell." She stared in horror at the infant in my arms, sobbing as she knelt beside me. Then reaching out tentatively to stroke the baby's cheek, she spoke softly to it, more to me. I tried to keep this secret, Judy. I didn't want Mother to know. She's going to kill me. I know. I draped my arm around the girl. My heart went out to her. What a terrible secret to have to keep from your own mother. Still considering Lilith, I wasn't entirely surprised that Mary Frances had done it. "Mary Frances, honey, I said gently. We've got to get this baby to a doctor, and you. I reached out and wiped the tears from her cheeks. You didn't go to a hospital, did you? I asked her. No, she sobbed. I had the baby in the upstairs bathroom. Mother, she never goes in there, but it was horrible. It hurt so badly. But what was I supposed to do? She wailed desperately, helplessly. How old is the baby, Mary Frances? I asked her. Almost a week. I come home from school to feed him when I know Mother's not around. I was hoping to put him up for adoption or something. Her words broke off as she began to weep again. I handed the baby to her, then stood up. Come on, honey, I said. We're going to my house. You can't go on like this anymore, Mary Frances. You know that as well as I do. She stood, trembling, and nodded her head. No, I can't. I know I can't, not anymore. But what about my mother? Mary Frances, this isn't the time or place to worry about Lilith. We'll call the hospital and I'll take you and the baby in. You simply can't hide this anymore, though you have to accept that. Mother's going to kill me, she sobbed. I reached out and stroked her hair away from her flushed, swollen face. Honey, let's go, I commanded gently, offering her my hand. She took it and heaved to her feet. Judy, I didn't know what to do. I know, honey, I know, but you should have tried talking to someone. I don't have anyone, Judy, no one. And for the first time, I realized how true that had been. So you say this girl gave birth to her baby and hid it in the attic? The police officer and I were standing out on my front porch. He was eyeing me suspiciously. Yes, exactly, I replied. She was afraid to tell her mother. Okay, I see. But from the expression on his face, I knew he really didn't see. And you found the baby? Well, yes, I went up to the attic. I'd been hearing the baby crying for a couple of days. And when you say you went into the attic, did you mean that you had a key to the house? Not exactly. He raised a bushy brow. Then how exactly did you get in? I hesitated for a moment, trying to find the right words. I went in through the basement window. Heaving a sigh, he ran his hand through his thick gray hair. You mean you broke in, right? I shuffled from one foot to the other. In my mind, I saw the cop, slapping cuffs on me and leading me away. Desperately, I searched my mind for a way to answer that wouldn't incriminate me. Nothing came to mind. Yes, I broke in. I had to find out what that crying was. The cop leaned against the porch railing, scribbling in his notebook. What you did was against the law, he remarked. I know, but what was I supposed to do? Mary Frances's mother wouldn't talk to me, and she certainly wasn't going to let me in her house. If I hadn't done what I did, the baby might be sick or dead. Even. He thought about that for a moment. Look, he said finally, shaking his head. I understand, but at that moment, Lilith strode up to me and pushed me hard. What were you doing in my home? She shouted imperiously. How dare you put Mary Frances in this situation? Her hair flew around her face like a scraggly veil. Wild eyes glared at me as clenching her skinny hands into fists. Lilith trembled before me. This is terrible. An absolute outrage. I didn't know how to react. The cop looked at
me then, his eyes telling me all I needed to know. "Lilith, I didn't mean to interfere, but I kept hearing the baby's cries," I beseeched her. "I had to find out what was making the noise. I just thank God that I found the baby when I did." "The devil's child," Lilith screamed like a banshee. "It's that horrible heathen boy's fault, luring my Mary Frances into sinful, craving lust. Mary Frances told me the truth. Mary Frances told me that the devil made her do it." I looked at the cop, who rolled his eyes. "Lilith," I asked then gently, "have you actually talked to Mary Frances? I mean, really talked to her?" Lilith sniffled loudly, dabbing at her red-rimmed eyes with a tattered tissue. "She says she wants to keep the baby," she snorted. "She says she loves this Wyeth boy. He came to see her, wants to marry her," she cackled loudly. He's not taking my Mary Frances, and that baby is full of sin, and I tell you, I won't have it in my home, and I won't." I reached out and slapped her across the face. "Damn it, Lilith, stop talking like that," I screamed. "You're to blame for what happened to Mary Frances. You never allowed her to be a regular teenager. You were always nagging her about something or other. And for the first time in her life, she finally found someone who cares for her. And don't you dare call that baby sinful. You're the one who's sinful, Lilith. You're the one to blame for this situation." Glaring at me, Lilith unclenched her white knuckled fists. "You know nothing," she roared. I glared back. "I know enough to love my daughter, to realize that she needs gentle nurturing to grow up, and I know that she can come to me and tell me whatever she wants and that I'll always be there to help her. That's how much I know, Lilith." Lilith said nothing. Dabbing her eyes, she slowly turned from me and walked away. "I guess I'll have to file charges on your breaking into her house," the cop said, "but under the circumstances, I don't see how it will amount to anything. Anyway, I think it might be good for you to stop in at the hospital and see Mary Frances. Right now, she needs a friend more than anything." The hospital room was well lit. Mary Frances was lying in bed with her son cradled in her arms. He nursed loudly, tugging with little hands at her hospital gown. When I walked in, Mary Frances smiled at me. "He's so beautiful," she whispered. I remembered the drab Mary Frances who'd walked around like a ghost, the poor, unfortunate girl who didn't fit in anywhere, the girl with a mother who was riddled with torment over her destroyed marriage. The Mary Frances lying in that bed was far different. I saw love in her whole being, love for that little boy nestled in her arms. "Honey, I just want you to know that I'm here if you need me," I told her. Mary Frances smiled. "Judy, I want to thank you for what you did. I didn't know if I was ever going to get out of that horrible mess." I patted her hand. "I only wish you could have gone to your own mother," I said. "But now that it's all out in the open, I just know you'll be fine." She smoothed the baby's fine hair with her fingertips. I was so ashamed, and I knew what my mother would say. She looked down at the infant. "But how can this be so wrong?" "It isn't, Mary Frances, but the way you went about it." She nodded her head and then asked quietly, "So what's going to happen now?" I shrugged. "Well, I suppose
that social services will contact you. I guess they'll put you... they'll put you in some home for teenage mothers. You won't be going home to your mother, I'm sure, especially under the circumstances. I sat down on the foot of the bed. Have you talked to Wyeth? Mother wouldn't let him come. Mary Frances said, tears filling her eyes. But Judy, I really want to talk to him. I nodded. Well, I'll talk to the doctor. You need to include the baby's father in any decisions you make. And from what I've heard, Wyeth is concerned about you both. Fat tears rippled down her cheeks. Judy, I'm so sorry for what I did. I went to her, giving her a big hug. Mary Frances, you did the only thing you thought you could. Just remember that you're fine now, and so is the baby. It's too late to change the past. Just look toward the future, sweetie. She kissed my cheek, and I held back tears. By the grace of God, there went my Sydney. Lilith was going to miss out on so much. She already had. The judge dismissed my case, and as I'd predicted, Mary Frances went to a home with her son. The story made all the papers, which only made it look more sensational than it really had been. But after a month or so, life settled back down into its regular pattern. Looks like there's a moving van next door, Sydney said one morning. Hey, is Lilith moving? I went to stand beside my daughter and looked out the kitchen window. Sure enough, men were loading up furniture and boxes from Lilith's house into a big commercial van. I wonder, I said. I went to the door, then slipping outside. Following the fence to the front of the house, I saw Lilith standing outside and called to her. Since the incident with Mary Frances, we hadn't been on what you'd call good terms by any means. I saw now that nothing had changed. Lilith tucked a strand of her hair behind her ear, storming up to the fence as she glared at me. What do you want? She demanded bitterly, the veins in her neck bulging. Haven't you made enough trouble? I just wanted to see if we couldn't patch this up. I watched a burly mover toss a box into the back of the van. You're moving, aren't you? Lilith pursued her lips, or pursed her lips, that is. Yes, and not soon enough, if you ask me. I've had more than enough of living next door to people like you, butting into my business, leading my poor daughter astray. You're an evil woman, Judy Kincaid. Turning, she all but ran away from me. I stood there for a moment. I knew I wasn't evil. And I also knew that Lilith was never going to change. Patching up our disagreement wasn't ever going to happen. Lilith would always hate me. Thank goodness she'd decided to move. Life would have been pretty hard if she hadn't. I went back into the house. Lilith is moving? Sydney asked. Yes, she is. Sydney sighed. Well, I guess it's best for all of us. That woman is crazy, anyway. Not crazy, honey, just a little different and very unhappy. Lilith sees life through her eyes, and that's all she wants to see. Yeah, well, at least Mary Frances is safe. Let's hope so. Mary Frances did end up safe. She married Wyeth the following summer, and she's back in school now and doing just fine. The baby, Wyeth Jr., is healthy and adored by his parents. Wyeth Sr. goes to college at night and works for a computer company during the day. He's a very busy young man, but you'd never know it. He showers love on Mary Frances and their infant son. Sometimes I look at Lilla's old house and think of her. The new neighbors are a young couple with small children. There are swing sets and bright curtains next door now, so different from how Lilith and Mary Frances lived. The old house is filled with happiness. But I often wonder what happened to Lilith King. Did she ever find the peace of mind and solace she obviously so desperately craved? Has she found it in her heart to forgive Mary Frances? Does she yearn to hold her grandson in her arms? Much as I want to believe it's possible, I know in my heart that Lilith hasn't relented. What a shame for all involved. Unconditional love and support for our children are so vital in today's world. I only wish that Lilith had understood that much. Okay, that's the end of that story. I thought it was good. Hope you enjoyed it. If you tuned in late, this is the Romance Program with volunteer Jeannie Ost for Sunsounds. And now I've got a couple of features to read from True Love Magazine. This first one is a little mini story called How I Know I'm in Love. This one was written by Jenny L. Powell from Georgia. Here's the story. I was dancing in a local clogging group when I became very good friends with my future husband's sister. She'd noticed one night at practice that I was heartbroken over a recent breakup with my boyfriend. She asked me if I would like to meet one of her brothers. She showed me his senior picture from high school, but there was only one catch. I had to wait 2 weeks to meet him. He was on a hunting trip in Wyoming. He knew nothing about me until he arrived back home that Friday, 2 days earlier than he was expected. Trina and I were dancing at the local fair that Friday night. As we were sitting on the side of the stage watching people come in to watch our show, I noticed a tall, dark, and handsome guy walk in. I looked at Trina and she looked at me. "That's your brother," I said. "No, it's not," she said. Well, needless to say, it was her brother, and she had to call out all the steps of the dance to me that night. My mind had gone completely blank. Later that night, we rode some rides at the fair together. Both of us were very shy. He asked my parents if he could take me home. After we arrived at my house, he leaned over and kissed me. Then he asked me if I'd like to go out with him again sometime. I said yes. So we made a date for the following Friday. 1 week after our first date, we both said, "I love you." He brought me a dozen red roses, and that meant a lot to me. He graduated 2 years before me. I graduated on a Monday night, and that Friday night, we were married. This June, we will celebrate our 15th year together. For us, it was love at first sight. Okay, that's the end of that little mini story. And now I have another one, and this is also from True Love Magazine. It's called The Life I Live. It was written by W.S. from Florida. Here's the story. My life now is very limited and what others might consider dull or even boring, but I'm much happier now than I've been in a very long time. I don't have a car at my disposal, and although I live on a bus line, I only venture as far as the convenience store across the street. I clean house, cook, read, and wait for my fiancé to come home from work in the afternoon. On weekends, we shop for groceries, wash clothes, and do the incidentals that I can't do during the week. My man and I enjoy our time together, and we're grateful for it. I have the most wonderful man in the world, and you'll understand why we are so happy after you read my story. Until 8 months ago, I was a crack cocaine addict and a prostitute. As for the addict part, I will always be an addict, but now I'm a recovering addict. I was a well-educated, hardworking mother and grandmother until I tried crack in June
of 1986. My life went completely downhill after that. I could tell you stories that would curl your hair. I've been raped and beaten and have been arrested more times than I can count. I barely escaped death after ingesting a large amount of drugs, but I didn't escape injury. I caused permanent damage to my heart and will have to be on medication for the rest of my life. When my fiancé met me a year and a half ago, he saw within me the person I once was. He fell in love with me and wanted to help me start a new life, but I had to wait until I was ready. 9 months ago, I decided I was ready to try. We live in the present now and look forward to the future. We don't dwell on the past, but we know it's there and will occasionally bite us in the rear. We can deal with that because we have each other, and we discuss our thoughts and feelings honestly. Any other man would be using my past against me. Some men would be afraid to leave me in their home alone or around cash or valuables. Not my man. The limits and restrictions I place on myself are self-imposed and for my own protection. I know that I have everything I need at home and have no reason to go out. I never want to take the chance of being out alone and being recognized by one of my old dates. I would die of embarrassment if a cop who knew me thought I was up to no good and decided to stop me to check my ID, like they did so often once. I never want to run into anyone I bought drugs from or got high with. As restricted as my life seems now, it beats the heck out of my old life. It's the best high I've ever had. Okay, well, this romance show's kind of short, but I'm going to go ahead and end it, and that is going to do it for the romance show. This has been Volunteer Jeannie Else for Sun Sounds. Have a wonderful week and take care of yourselves. I enjoyed reading to you. I will talk to you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.